Let us pray. Lord, turn our hearts to you. Amen. Not everyone goes through confirmation. Not everyone graduates high school. Not everyone gets married. But what we consider today is something that we all have in common, and that's death. We see it all around us. We anticipate it. Some people fear it. Even Emmanuel here has its whole academic structure based around a certain understanding of what death is and what it means to us. This study traces its roots back to our first chapel, where our text was from Romans 5, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men." In Genesis 3, we find death entering the world because of our sin, confronting, terrorizing mankind from generation to generation. How did God deal with this? Our text comes from Hebrews chapter 2. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Before I came to Emmanuel to be a pastor, I studied something called actuarial science. And yes, there are people out there called actuaries. These are the people that work for life insurance companies, and their job is to use math to calculate the probability of when you are going to die. It's their position then to do this so that they can predict on average when a person's going to die based on their age and statistics, so that the money you pay into your life insurance policy is going to exceed the money that the insurance company has to pay out. So they're always trying to calculate this in the long run, on average, for everybody that buys a life insurance policy, that they're going to come out ahead. One thing that this field supposes is fundamental is that everybody is going to die. To the actuary, death is inevitable. It's a 100% probability that somebody, that you are going to die at some time. The question they have to deal with is when. As much as they can put all the statistics together and come up with a number for when they expect a person, at least on average, to live toward, they have to take into consideration that people die unexpectedly, tragically, in ways we could never have imagined. In fact, recently, someone I went to school with, Dylan Nixon, was a case just like this. He died recently in a motorcycle accident at a young age. Was this predicted? Was this expected? From our perspective, no one expected this. Yet is this supposed to bring us uncertainty? Is this supposed to make us afraid of death? When we bring to mind the sins of our past and consider the ways that we've fallen short of God's glory, the ways that we've done otherwise than God's word says, when God says, "Thou shalt not covet," do we covet? Do we desire those things we're not supposed to have? When God says we're supposed to love Him above all things, treasure His Word at all times, we see the pride of sinful man constantly resisting and going astray time and time again. So how do we come to grips with the concept of death, of judgment, of facing God in light of these things? We see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel, who tasted death for everyone. Literally, on behalf of everyone, Jesus tasted death. Jesus experienced that death we all deserve. Our text goes on, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Jesus partook of flesh and blood. God became man so that He could be whipped and beaten, so that He could hang on a cross, so that He could die. Furthermore, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was then separated from His Father, forsaken, a pain that we will never know, suffering eternal hell for every one of you. That is what death really is, that separation from God. All this, our text says, was by the grace of God, by the undeserved love that God has for sinners like Dylan and like you. Hebrews will go on later to say that for the joy that was set before Jesus, He endured the cross, meaning that the joy is what He looked forward to when He was on the cross, the joy of knowing that He would be united with you and with Dylan in eternal joy in heaven. That the cross was the way that He could make this happen. To destroy the power of the devil. To destroy that bondage that once held mankind. That fate that man shared with the devil eternally. He was able to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so death is covered up. The Apostle Paul declares then, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this means fruit from my labor. Yet what I choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Death no longer has dominion over us. It doesn't scare us. As Prof. Sullivan said in a recent chapel, "Your salvation is nearer today than when you once believed." Was Dylan's death unexpected or expected? From God's perspective, it was expected. See, God saw Dylan's salvation coming nearer and nearer every day until He knew that very moment when He would give him the full realization of what He had prepared in eternity for him in Christ Jesus. And He knows the same for every one of you. Yes, death is getting closer, but that means your salvation is getting closer. You, as a believer, have a life insurance policy that gives benefits upon death, not to the people you leave behind, but to you. We have this guarantee. We see Christ paying the price for this policy, and we see His resurrection as proof that the price was fully paid to secure this in His resurrection. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, spiritually, you already have passed from death to life. You could place that last note anywhere on this timeline, seeing as how you've come to faith. Forever. This is my last chapel before I graduate, and so I say Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen is German for till I see you again. It's what every believer can say to another believer. At Emmanuel here, we can say Auf Wiedersehen. This is your life in Christ. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn 728. Hymn 728.